Welcome to the 200% Life Podcast with Adam Hergenrother and Caitlin Frotlin, where we bring you weekly insights into spiritual growth and business success. Today, we're going to talk about why high achievers struggle tying themselves to their goals, why leaders and entrepreneurs are always feeling hurried and unfulfilled after they get their goals or while they're getting their goals, even as you're getting closer to your goals. What is a goal and what's its purpose of a goal itself? And how to choose goals that actually fulfill you and why do they actually fulfill you? You know, Caitlin, one of the interesting things about this time of year is people start thinking about goals, right? In a couple different ways. We are, recording this in February, so we're past New Year's Eve, which is a lot of New Year's Eve. A lot of people on New Year's Day have goals and they have these resolutions. Really today, the conversation that I would love to have, which is how do you choose a goal? And we would add in the end part of this is that fulfills you. Mm. And I think it's important because everyone wants to choose goals that fulfill you, right? They want to have a goal that they can put themselves into that is going to be fulfilled. The other way of saying that is I want to do work or I want to apply myself to something that's going to give me positive and great energy and what it is. I think it's important to bifurcate the two in this conversation. One is what actually fulfills you and what is a goal? So let's just start with a goal, right? Okay. Goals have a beginning and an end, but they're not the purpose of your life. Tony Dungy actually said that, which is he's a football coach and is recently after his son had committed suicide, he talked about how goals have a beginning and an end, but they're not the purpose of your life. And it was, obviously a reflective state for him to be able to talk. And I've always remembered that because I thought it was a beautiful way of talking about spirituality and personal growth in every realm. So goals don't have they have a beginning and an end. And they're great to use in business. And they're great to use in your personal life, in your financial life. It keeps you engaged in things longer, right? That's what the purpose of a goal is. So a goal is you set up a goal and the objective is, can I stay here longer? So what can I master? We talked about last episode, overcoming that mind, self-mastery is overcoming the voice inside your head that says no. Goals keep you aligned to say no to those different things. I gave the story of going up and doing a PR, right? That's the goal of climbing the mountain as fast as you can. Even though the mind was going crazy, you stay in there. In leadership, a lot of times you could have a financial goal. You could have a growth goal. You could have a viewership goal. And you stay, are you able to stay focused on that long enough? And it keeps everybody focused together in a team, if you have a team or individual to be able to do it. Like anybody that wakes up in football wants to win the Super Bowl. That's like their goal, right? To be able to get to that, whatever that is that they can do. It aligns people to keep your actions and what you're doing together. But we always have to remember, the more attached you are to a goal, the harder it is for you to A, separate yourself from the goal and see it as not your purpose. And also at the same time, if it does come true or doesn't come true, you have major issues on both sides. Mm-hmm. So even if you go and you hit your goals, right, you'll feel at some point after hitting your goals, you'll feel somewhat unfulfilled. Mm-hmm. Because you may, back up. You may feel fulfilled the minute you hit your goals, but in talking to many business owners and experiences myself, the minute you hit a goal, it's going, okay, I hit this goal, and it doesn't feel the same as you thought it would do. And this really happens for most goals. Because what happens is when you start off and there's so much distance between where you are and where your goal is, that you get excited about and you start doing this mental imaging, this mental kind of movie of what it would be like if I hit this goal. So what's a common one people would do? What happens if I win the lottery, right? And then you start imagining about all the things that you could do and it feels really good. Or it's like, wow, it's going to be wonderful the minute I get my first car, right? I can remember that in my life. And now it's like, I don't even, it's just a car, right? Or like, what is it like to make your first $50,000 or $100,000? You fill in the number of what it is. You have these goals. But once you get there, you're going, okay, where is it, right? Like, where is this fulfillment from the goal? And what you realize is they're actually separated. But let's just stay on goals for a second. So you keep you if you attach yourself to the goal with your purpose, you're buying into the concept that the goal itself is going to bring you fulfillment.
Kind of like the example you've shared before about Michael Phelps, or like athletes who perform at a very high level, have huge success, and then after that find themselves lost.
Yeah. Or what about even the people that went to the moon? Right? Like, I mean, think about that. Like, your childhood dream is like to be the first person to walk on the moon. And then they came back. And if you've read the stories about them, they all went in severe depression.
No, I've not heard that.
Yeah. So it's like they all became, I don't know if all of them did. Yeah. I know the majority of them had major issues with alcohol and drug and substance abuse and major depression issues, because your entire life, what's your goal?
Yeah.
It's to go walk on the moon. You come back and you're celebrated. And then 6 months later, a year later, a month later, you go, what am I doing? Yeah. Where's the next goal? That's, again, it's a monumental feat, right? But if you attach yourself and that becomes your purpose, the minute it's gone, then you go, well, what am I supposed to be doing in my life again? Mm-hmm. So this is the challenge, even with mini goals, right? Like, I see this, and this is a wonderful tactic people can take away from the outer world, right? Of how many people wake up and just go, I need to get through my day today. I need to just get through my day today. That's your goal, is to get through your day. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to pretend like the day is not going to create, you're trying to get away from the inner experience that you don't want to have. So, sure, you can get through your day, and all of a sudden you probably do. And that now you're 8 o'clock and you're at home and going, okay, now I'm through my day. Now what? Mm-hmm. Now you're going to try to get through your day tomorrow just to be back in the same spot of realizing, I just went through it, and did I actually experience it? Or maybe you went through mechanically and went through that stuff, but the whole time you're like, I can't wait to get home. I can't wait to get to this. Mm-hmm. And you're buying into that concept of the attachment of the goal of getting through the day. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to bring real examples of what people do. It's like, oh man, I had this meeting coming up and it's going to be really hard. I just need to get to this meeting. For what reason? Okay, now you're through the meeting. Now you're one step closer to death. You're one step closer to whatever it is that's there. Why can't, sure, I understand the mechanics of that. Like, some things are much more difficult and harder. All I'm saying is think about it differently. Just think about it as like, wow, this is going to be a really challenging meeting, Caitlin. And it's going to really bring me some growth. And I'm really not excited, but excited to jump into this thing. Just be real with yourself.
It sounds like there's almost two ways of attaching to goals here. Like, one is like thinking your purpose is your goal, mm-hmm. and that can create suffering when you reach the goal. And the other is the goal of like focusing on the goal and missing the present experience and the growth that's there.
Yes. For it. That's exactly right. And typically, if you've attached yourself to the goal, you're no longer actually experiencing it, because you're so caught up in what it's going to feel like when I actually hit the goal. Right. I talk about this in 200% Life. I mean, for me, it was a big financial goal. And once you hit it, I knew it, even coming into it, years coming into it, like, because it was a year, multiple year run up, even the year coming into it, I was like, oh, even if I do, I could see it on the walls. Like, okay, I'm really hoping that this is it. And then, but you realize you get closer and closer and closer. It's not just like one day you just realize it doesn't work. It's just like, I knew it wasn't going to work, but I kept having this, you know, this hope that it would. Mm-hmm. And then once you actually get there, you go, okay, all right, well, like, what's next? And this is the dilemma of a lot of high achievers, mm-hmm. right? In any leadership position. It's like they set a goal and they get it and they're like, okay, we accomplished that. Now what's next? And they use that as like a badge. Like, okay, I've accomplished that goal, now I'm this. The problem is, it's not wrong. Like, sure, you can go out there and you accomplish a lot of stuff and you build a lot of things, but did you miss things? I mean, like, miss the experience of what it was, or you were so caught up in just accomplishing the goal to get to the next goal, which is what I feel like so many people are living their lives. I felt like this yesterday. It wasn't even about goals. I found myself hurrying to, I was really, really at a lot of my plate yesterday, right? And I found myself being hurried, like, through a meeting. And I'm like, I'm in a meeting for 45 minutes, but I found myself wanting to hurry through it just to get to the next hurry. And I had to really stop. It was like 2 hours. And I was like, wow, what is going on here? I had to pause for a second and go, okay. And again, this is just my own self-talk. I was like, you just missed that entire meeting. I know that I was active in it. I know that I talked in it, but like, the whole time I'm going like, I need to get, okay, I got 17 emails I gotta respond to. Like, I have these seven texts just came in there. I gotta call this person back. And I'm like, I'm so outside this meeting right now. I'm not even being present in this. And then it leaked into my next meeting. And finally, I had a little break for 15 minutes. And I was like, why am I feeling? And I just asked the question, like, why do I feel so hurried right now? Where am I trying to go to?
Yeah.
And that's something you can do on the outward side when this starts to happen. It goes, where am I going?
Did you notice there was a root cause of why, or is it more kind of a...
I don't know why I showed up, because it's not that, like, that's an, you know, an abnormal day for me. You know, my days are pretty packed with things that are happening at all moments. So it just this energy came up and I just felt very hurried. And I'm sitting there knowing it, but I'm still acting with it, right? Like I'm still, and so finally I kind of just paused and was like, okay, where am I going? That's the question that I love to ask, which I think anybody can ask that question, right? Which is, what am I trying to get through here? What am I trying to get through? And just, you're not asking it for the answer. You're just asking it to actually slow down. And it doesn't mean slow down in your actions. It just means it's buying into the hurried energy of trying to get through something just to get through it.
I can relate to that so much with two young kids.
Yes, that's it. I mean, only got 5 minutes to be able to do this, yeah. Right? Yes.
And yeah. I'm constantly hurrying us to get out of the house, to get to wherever we're going. And then once I'm in the car, even if we're going to be 5 minutes late, I'm like, what was I doing that for?
I know.
You know? And there's more awareness each time, but it's still a challenging habit to break, you know? And especially in the parenting world where we're operating on two different time scales.
Yes.
You know?
So, yes. Yeah.
But very relatable.
Well, leadership's the same way, right? Like there's typically 100 different items somebody needs to do every day. And when they wake up, they're waking up already hurried because they're thinking about all the things they have to do. Mm-hmm. Now you're in mind again, mm-hmm. right? Now you're no longer actually just handling the thing. That's why you can use goals as to go, okay, what's the most important thing that I need to do? Such that by doing this, everything else becomes easier and necessary. I mean, that's from the One Thing book, right? The simplified question that you can ask, what is the one thing that I can do such that by doing it, everything else becomes easier or just unnecessary? The other way of saying it is just, I don't need to do it anymore, mm-hmm. right? And that helps focus on your goals. That's why goals become important. But if we didn't talk about goals and not attaching yourself to the goals, you just find yourself attached to the goals, living the mental movies and trying to hit one goal after the next. And by the way, it still may look like that if you're not attached to the goals. That's why it's so difficult, right? Because the outer perspective could be, well, you know, Eckhart Tolle is just hitting a goal after goal after goal, right? He released this new class and now he's doing this meditation retreat. Now he's doing this speaking over here. See, he's doing all these different goals. Sure, it looks the same. But again, remember, spirituality is never about changing what you're doing or how you're interacting. It's the part of you that is interacting. So yesterday, and I gave that example, the hurriedness was interacting with life. Mm-hmm. And I was attaching myself to the boat of hurriedness. And that's how I started having my experience now, was all through hurriedness, that emotion that came through there. Versus I would have still been in the same meetings, I just not have attached myself to them and been more present than I could have and probably provided better solutions. Mm-hmm. The different things that are there.
Okay, so it's like recognizing when you attach to the goal, you're actually taking yourself out of the present moment. So then how do you to hit that second point, which is to choose a goal that is actually going to be deeply fulfilling? Yeah.
The actual act of choosing a goal has to be when, and every spiritual teacher will teach you this, you have to be as clear as possible. Mm-hmm. So this is why, you know, again, we use a 4-1-1. Any kind of form works. It's just basically what is really important this week for my job and my personal life, business, however you want to look at it, my leadership, my finance. And you need to do it when you're clear. That could be a Sunday morning. That could be Monday morning. That could be a Friday afternoon for you. Whatever. You just get clear. You're as clear as the state that you can be. And then you go, okay, what needs to really happen? Not what I want to happen. Want buying into what the mind is telling you what I want. That's all I mean by want. It's not about not wanting something, or because the goal, you could say, well, isn't that wanting? It's not wanting what the mind wants. That's what being clear means. Does that make sense? Like being clear means I'm not attaching a goal to what the mind wants for the goal.
Yeah. So it's not setting a goal thinking, oh, well, then I'll get more influence, money, these things will make me happy. It could still be the same goal, but you're saying, like, I actually feel called and pulled to do this, and this is an area that I want to explore. And you're showing up with a sincerity for doing it rather than fulfilling the ego's wants and desires. Is that?
Yeah, I mean, similar. It's just anything that if the mind tells you to go do something and that becomes your goal, that's a mind's goal. Mm-hmm. It could be as simple as go send that person an email. Right? Tell them what you really think and you go do. Or, you know, I just need the mind's telling you, just get through this day. Again, that's your goal. And that's where you're applying the mind's goal is there. So really the first things that you want to do is make sure that you're not taking your lessons or your goals from your mind. Mm-hmm. That would be the first takeaway right there is, am I really setting my own goals or is the mind setting the goals for me? Mm-hmm. And that's the first step, because if the mind is setting your goals, you'll never be fulfilled. You'll always be in search mode, because that's the only way that the mind lives is in the past or the future. The mind cannot live in the present moment. It cannot. The brain can. The brain that functions and gives you clarity and be able to speak through is different than the personal mind, right? The brain is different than the personal mind. The brain can exist and help you operate and move and do 2 times 2 in your head, right? You can do those things. The personal mind that narrates life and wants you to pay attention to it cannot exist in the present moment. It never has, never will. So if you're buying into the personal mind's goals, you'll never ever be fulfilled at all. That's step one. So what you do is when you're clear, that's all I mean is when you're clear, is that you're no longer taking and listening to the mind tell you what it wants. You're sitting there going, the mind may even be going, you shouldn't do that. And you're still being clear in your goal. I always find one way to kind of check on this is sometimes when you're really clear and you set a goal, the mind actually is counter against it, is actually against your own goal that you just set, because it's more pure. It's more you, the real you, and not the personal mind. So that's one way I always kind of think about things. Like there's many times that I've give, you know, just things that are important to me and the mind's like, you shouldn't have to do this. You shouldn't be doing this thing.
Can you give an example?
Yeah. I mean, just like the other day I coached an agent that wanted to be coached and it was the right thing to do, but the mind's like, oh, you don't have time to do this. You shouldn't be doing this. That's not what you're supposed to do. You can give this to somebody else. And I'm sure I could have. And if I had listened to that, it probably would have been fine. But I knew that this was what I needed to do. And so that's what I mean. It will always jump in and try to derail you. So that's one kind of test you can always do, is a lot of times the personal mind will jump in and give you a counter of being like, oh, you shouldn't do that, right? So anyways, yeah, so you can't listen to the personal mind tell your goal. So the first step in actually creating a goal that's going to fulfill you is that you're setting your own goals. So that's the first step in doing and setting proper goals, is find a time that's you're very clear as you can possibly be. The second part of this is, you said, find goals that fulfill you. So if you're not listening to the personal mind, you're going to be more clear in your goals and they're going to bring you a different degree of enjoyment, because you're no longer doing it for some external validation or some energy that's off, which is why the mind tells you the goals. You're trying to do the goal to get rid of the energy that the mind has created. Does that make sense? Like there's some disturbance that the personal mind creates that the goal will then solve or perceive to solve or give you some level of energy. So what you do is fulfillment in itself is an internal job. Right? The goals are external. That's why we separate a lot of this either in our newsletter or the book, The 200% Life. There's 100% outer, there's 100% inner. And understanding that the 100% outer are your goals, are what you do. And there's ways that we just talked about to be very clear on those goals. The 100% inner is your first question, which is, why don't I already feel fulfilled in doing anything that I'm doing? I say that, I understand that's a much deeper question, but that's the place where people should work towards, right? Because why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you want to wake up and have the opportunity every day to feel fulfilled in anything that you're doing? Now, I'm not saying, because the mind will then jump in and tell a story like, how could I be fulfilled, you know, sweeping floors or whatever it is that you're doing, that is listening to mind. We talked about in our previous podcast where if you are listening to the mind tell you a story, you're not living life. Right. And it's like, you know, Eckhart Tolle has a quote, which I love. He said, the primary cause of unhappiness is never the situation. Okay. The primary cause of unhappiness is never the situation, but your thoughts about it. Be aware of the thoughts you are thinking. It's never really the situation. And Michael Singer's book, which was Oprah's favorite quote, which was, the moment in front of you is never bothering you. You are bothering yourself about the moment. You see, it's the same concept. The primary cause of unhappiness is never the situation. The moment in front of you is never bothering you. But your thoughts about it are what's bothering you. Or in this case, you're bothering yourself about the moment because your thoughts are there. So in any lack of fulfillment, it's not that there's not fulfillment there. It's not that there's wonderful energy there. It's that your thoughts around things that you're bought into of creating and preventing the fulfillment from actually coming. And that becomes part of the trap in all this stuff. So then you ask the deeper question, which is, okay, then how do I wake up just wanting to just one day, what would it look like to just have and be enjoying whatever is showing up in there. Well, you have to drop the stories. That's why step number one is to get clear on your goals. You will feel fulfilled in your goals the minute you feel fulfillment inside. If you are sure, can you rig your goals so that you feel moments of fulfillment? Absolutely. You 100% will work, which is what everyone's doing, right? People are rigging their goals of going, if I go get this certain amount of money, this fame, the letters behind my name, whatever it is, if I go get these things, I will feel better and I'll feel better about myself, which is really what you're saying is I will have a better inner experience that I enjoy. And so you're rigging the outside part of life to feel these moments, these small moments for years of fulfillment, right? Mm-hmm. Of what it is. Instead of going, you know what? My life's going to be over really quick. I don't even buy into that. I'm just going to wake up and I'm going to bring whatever I can into each moment. And I'm going to start dropping the stories around how each moment needs to be so that I can be inwardly fulfilled and then bring that into everything. Okay. So you're sitting there going, I'm not going to be inwardly fulfilled if I have to go fire somebody. It's not part of our culture. It's not part of what we have to do. Understand that totally. There's always acceptance. You can always accept what has to be done or accept the moment that's happening or has happened. That's number one. So if you're in a business situation and you need to let people go, you first accept the fact that you have to let people go. I'm just using this as an example because it comes up, right? Mm-hmm. Then once you've accepted that, that's when you can pause for a second and you can generate some level of new energy that comes in that helps you do the firing better with more consciousness. And that's just a proxy for anything that you do that's challenging in life. Maybe you have to have a sit down and tell somebody that they no longer are going to, you know, holding the title that they are, or that they are, you know, no longer, you know, we have to make pay cuts around everything, or, you know, this is no longer part of the strategy. So therefore the three people you just hired, you need to go let them go. And so now whatever the case is, what you need to do is first accept the fact of what's happening. Because as you accept it, you'll then be able to just get a new sense of energy around it. The story will be there, but you just no longer paying attention to it. And you can show up and do whatever you need to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So as you're talking about like this deeper level of fulfillment and aligning with that, what if, especially now, like by the time this airs will be February, March, and I feel like that's the time of year where people might be looking at the goals that they initially set,
yeah,
and have been working towards those and say, you know what, I don't think this is really doing it for me. Yeah. Or maybe it's clear I'm not going to hit the goals I set. Like, so how can people readjust, pivot? Should they, like, what's the approach that people can take right now?
I think go back and listen to the first part of this, which is, did I set goals from a clear sense of priority for me, mm-hmm. or did I set goals from the personal mind? And it's, again, you get to be simple as like, well, the personal mind really wanted me to look a certain way. So therefore I needed to lose a certain amount of weight. Okay. Was that really you that said it? Are you really fine with what? And I don't know, right? There's no answer. It's for you to do that. Or was that really about the mind saying you needed to look a certain way in somebody else's eyes or images or whatever it is, right? Or it's like, okay, we had this goal for taking a certain amount of vacations per year with our family. Okay, is that still a goal that you need to have? Or is that a goal so that you can post it on social media and tell everybody how wonderful of a parent you are, right?
I love that example of losing weight, because that's something that you could still act on that same, like, mm-hmm. you could still take the same actions, but say, am I doing it because I want to look good? Or am I doing it because I want to feel good on the inside? And then maybe the actions just switch up slightly, you know, maybe you are altering them a little bit, but you're still moving in the same direction. But then you're just moving in it in a more like authentic, fulfilling way.
Well, what you start to realize is that it's no longer about the goal. You're now moving forward with them, enjoying the process of moving forward with it. Mm-hmm. Now you're just enjoying the moment of you learning how to eat healthier or learning how to be exercise. That's what you're really doing. So when you drop the story and you're doing it for the sense of you doing it, again, it looks the same. That's why I keep mm-hmm. referencing outwardly. People go, oh, they're doing that. They're doing that. Blah, blah, blah. Yes. But what part of you is doing it? Mm-hmm. And the other way you could say it that makes it a little bit more useful is, what's your intention? Is it the mind, the personal mind's intention that this happens, or is it your intention? That's the difference. That's how you want to ask those questions. And that's how I always do it, like every day when I journal, is like, is this a personal mind thing? And at first, get it wrong, right? Just get it wrong. I heard Eckhart Tolle say this, and he was asked like 7 times. The lady wouldn't let it go. She's like, well, how do I know? How do I know? And he goes, finally, he was like, just go do what you just told me to do and tell me if you feel fulfilled permanently.
And it sounds like, too, what you're saying is the fulfillment happens the whole entire way.
Whole entire way. It's not so, one moment. Right. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
No, yeah. But that's, so that's like should be a real sign that if you are moving from a place or you've chosen goals that are truly going to be fulfilling for you for the long term, that you're actually getting fulfillment each step of the way as you move towards it.
Well, what happens is when you start making your own clear goals, you actually instantly start feeling more fulfilled because you're no longer fulfilling the ego. You're fulfilling yourself. So just by the act of you being clear on the goals and why you're doing the goals actually brings more joy to the goal itself.
I love that you're fulfilling yourself.
You that's what you're doing. Right. You're either fulfilling the mind, which is never going to be satisfied. It's like an empty glass. You can pour as much water into the empty glass or a broken glass that has no bottom. I guess the better way of saying it. There's a glass that has no bottom. You can be holding a cup there for a long period of time. It's never going to fill. And every now and then there may be like you put your hand underneath the bottom and you get just enough water in there to feel some energy.
Yeah.
And then it goes away again. And that's how most people live their life.
I heard, have you heard of Rupert Spira? I just started listening to him and he was talking about how when you hit a goal that your mind immediately quiets. Mm-hmm. So you get that rush of energy,
yes.
But that should be, or that is really the natural state.
Yes.
So it's only that you get the rush because your mind has been quieted, not because you actually hit the goal.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It's almost like when your mind, especially the bigger the goals and the more spontaneous the goals, the more the mind quiets down. Mm. And that's why the more, if you like lottery level winners, everyone's like, I'd be the one of the lottery. And also you win the lottery and you have this, probably the most rush anybody's ever felt of their life. That's how you're supposed to feel every day. Mm. So I always say that to people. It's like, imagine, because people just imagine winning the lottery. I go, and you feel good. I go, imagine if you actually won the lottery, they'd be like, oh my God, it'd just be through the roof. And I go, well, that's how you're supposed to feel. Mm. So like, and they're like, what? No, it only happens if you win the lottery. No, that's your actual natural state is to feel that way and probably higher. And so that's, and then people go, really? And it's like, that's why when people walking around and when Buddha said everyone's suffering, they're going, they're suffering because they don't feel like that. And that's how you should be walking around feeling, not should, that gets your natural state of how you can feel if you drop stories of the mind and you stop blocking yourself. Then you take that and now you're fully fulfilled. And then you take that and you bring it into whatever you're doing and just be just naturally fulfilled. You have goals, you have things that you're doing. You want to write a book, you want to go start a business, you want to, whatever it is that you want to do. You want to be an art teacher, you just fulfilled doing whatever it is that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And money, like I once heard this, Michael Singer said, you wouldn't, once you have that much energy, you wouldn't cross the street for $1 billion. Like, meaning that like you would never give that up because it's so strong and so powerful that the money will never give you that higher feeling that you think the money would give you. So therefore the money doesn't have the meaning anymore to it. That's the whole need nothing, enjoy everything, which is the goal of you getting something is going to open you up to a small, tiny amount of energy that you feel good. But if you already feel excess of any amount of energy you could get from a goal, why would you do the goal? Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden you can create goals for no other reason but to create goals. That's the whole part of it. So you can see how it comes full circle. If you're already feeling that level of energy inside, and by the way, it's available to anyone listening to this. It's not reserved for masters or anybody else. It's right there for anybody. And if you're feeling that, you would just be very clear on your goals because you're no longer doing the goals from the personal mind because you're not buying into it.
You know, you gave the example of Eckhart Tolle at the beginning, that he's doing this and he's doing that and he's here and he's there. And it makes me wonder if at a certain point, when you have been setting goals from a place of fulfillment, I don't think that Eckhart Tolle, and I know you don't think this either, but it's like sitting there with a vision board about I'm going to launch this and then do that. Like, but the universe just starts, or whatever you want to call it, life just starts unfolding, and this Oprah calls and says, "Do you want to do this masterclass?"
Exactly.
Like, and then it's like you're not even, there's no personal mind in the goals, but they're just the things. Are just showing up.
Yeah.
It's like co-creation, I guess what people call it, co-creation.
Yeah, you're here, just like an apple starts producing from an apple tree. Like, does the apple go, like, I really need to go, like, get some apple trees going on here. I need to really produce apples. It just happens. I mean, how does an apple tree produce apples? Somebody tell me.
Right.
Like, you can, okay, you plant the apple tree, and that's what somebody does. But you don't really, you put a seed in the ground. That's all you do, right? Like, okay. And now it's growing, and now it just produces apples. Like, it doesn't think of itself as, like, wow, I've created this master plan to create apples.
Yeah, it's just five bushels of apples this season.
It just apples happen, right? Yeah. That's what they do. And again, it's and what gives humans such an ability is that we can abstractly think about our thoughts and think about ourselves, which is how we've created an ego, which is a mind-based ability to use the brain to think about our experiences. And we've attached ourselves to that, which then creates an ego or a self-concept, which is a self-concept which is created. So goals are wonderful, and everyone should or should not have goals. It's up to you if you want them, but goals are great. They keep you aligned. They keep you focused. They're fun to do. Like, it's fun to go learn something new and, you know, be objective to it. Fulfillment is not going to come permanently from goals. It'll come in moments if that's the game that you want to play. But if you truly want fulfillment, or really what people say fulfillment is, I'm going to feel this inner experience that feels great, right? That's what I want. Then that's an inside job, not an outside job. And the faster we can learn that our goals are not going to bring us that permanently, the faster we can start asking deeper questions. And so when you talk about goals that are there to fulfill you, you have to separate the two and say, how do I get very clear on my goals? We walk people through that, right? And then how do we take our where we are today, and how do I start feeling the inner juice that I'm looking for from the goal, but now, so I can actually enjoy the whole experience of the goal itself.
Okay. So could you condense those down to just like one inner takeaway from today and one outer takeaway from today for people?
Yeah, the inner takeaway would be don't buy into the fact anymore that your goals are going to permanently give you fulfillment. Just start there. Like, that was like my first, again, my aha for my life was that I've set out these goals. I've done a lot of these different things. I've accomplished these things, and I don't feel any different. And by the way, many, many, many successful people are telling you this. I say successful in terms of how we view people successful are saying money is not it, right? Fame is not it, right? It doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means that, like, that's not going to do it for you. So don't buy into that. So that's the inner experience of buying into the fact that you think your goal is going to deliver you this permanent joy. It doesn't, and it's not going to. That's the inner experience. The outer takeaway is get clear on your goals, meaning that don't allow the personal mind to set your goals for you. You need to get clear and set your goals. So again, one way to kind of know if you're doing that is the personal mind will probably comment on your goals about why you shouldn't or shouldn't be doing your goals. And that's one way to do it. So find a spot that's very clear. I say a spot, a time that you're clear, that you're centered, and just think about some goals. There's so many different, you know, wonderful people that teach about how to write down a goal and different things. But it's simple as, like, what could be my goal financially, right? What could be my goal personally? What could be, you know, a goal in my leadership? What could be a goal in my spirituality or personal growth or my faith, right? What does that look like? And you could go around the button. We also have the future self tool, right?
Yes. Adam Hergen, if you go to adamhergenrother.com/future.
Yes.
And yeah, and it guides you through the whole process too, which is nice. And then you get it emailed each day too, so you can have that reminder, which is kind of similar to your journaling.
Yep.
Like, it pulls up, you reflect on it.
Yeah, the whole future self tool, again, at adamhergenrother.com/future is there, and you can fill it out. I still get mine emailed every single day, right? And it's just, there's different categories that you kind of put things in there, and then you can see how they fit. You can sit with them for a little while, and then you can keep adjusting them. But it's a great tool to be able to use for people from an outward standpoint.